Translation. Sri Goswami said, while Maharaj Pariksit was resigning in the council of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. The state administration of Maharaj Pariksit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But when he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? They are: 1. Illicit connection with women; 2. Indulgence in meat eating; 3. Intoxication; and 4. Taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above mentioned 4 symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaj Pariksit heard that some of the people of the state had already taken to those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the regime of Maharaj Pariksit, such symptoms of life were practically unknown. As soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaj Pariksit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states, because everyone was peacefully under his subordination. But in the Kali Yuga, miscreants gave his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there's a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparations for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy, unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms of the above mentioned are sure to infiltrate into social life. But it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of Kali. Maharaj Pariksit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali, and thus save the innocent citizens who were pure in habit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Pariksit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight.
Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Ne Vishesha Sanvari Pasya Pasthana Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Radhasani Gaur Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation again. Sri Goswami said, while Maharaj Pariksit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military action. This chapter is titled How Pariksit Received the Age of Kali. And Sri Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that although it is predestined, still one has to take precautions. Just like in the season when the cold winds blow, you know that wind is coming. And so you take precautions so you don't get sick, although it's not possible to counteract the winter, or the rainy season, we can't check that. But we should, as far as possible, protect oneself and one's dependents. So that is the duty of the state administration to protect the citizens, anyone. We say in the Shastra that one should not become a guru, one should not become a father, a parent, a teacher, if one cannot deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So the king, the administrator, is supposed to be the father for all of the citizens, all of the subjects. Supposed to view them like his children. The citizen is supposed to view the king like father. But we heard in the Krishna book where the son died before the father, and the father went to the king to complain. Why my son has died before me in your kingdom? Something is wrong here. So that we say that in those days, just 5,000 years ago, how perfect the society was. Of course, this is just after the battle of Kurukshetra, when all of the unwanted kings had been removed. So the earth was relieved of that problem by the will of Lord Krishna. So naturally it was a peaceful time. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the Dhammaraj, ideal king, very, very pious person, and a very beautiful person. So much so one time there was a mention in the Mahabharata that the Yudhisthira was asked to go and find a person in the city who was more fallen than him. And Duryodhana was meant to go and find someone who was greater than him. So that they came back, and Duryodhana said, I looked everywhere, I couldn't find anyone. No one to match me. Yudhisthira said, I searched high and low throughout the city till whole day, but I couldn't find anyone or any single person. So then, just as I was coming to return, then I saw a person drawing water from the well, and it was a codicil. So then he immediately arrested that person. What do you think you're doing? Today's a codicil, I'm drawing water. But then he told me that he's drawing water for his horses. So I couldn't find anyone who was less fallen than I. So just see the condition of the civilization at that time. Everyone was a little bit near John the Patterson. But even the sutras, Patis, who looks after the horses, are sutras. So very Kali couldn't enter at that time because it was so well administered. It was only 5,000 years ago. But now is the time for Kali Yuga, and as soon as those symptoms started, and they started immediately after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, then we heard that in the last chapter was the Pandavas retired timely. Let's go. Not just because Kali Yuga, but they were running away from the influence of Kali Yuga. They saw the symptoms that they'd never seen before. Abnormal things were happening. like people arguing with each other, husband and wife, and all sorts of anomalies in nature. But so that was a signal. Of course, the main reason was that Krishna had left, but then immediately those symptoms started. But it was kept at bay, because you remember when he he banished Kali. He couldn't, Kali asked where he could reside. He said he can reside where these four things aren't being followed. This is sex, intoxication, meat and gambling. He said, there's nowhere in your city where that, these things go on. So then he gave a concession, whatever gold is hoarded, he made his own there. So those four principles here that we follow to become initiated in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is the standard of civilized life. And from the derivation of those rules, then all these bad qualities can come up, like the quality of cleanliness goes, truthfulness, austerity, mercy, all those qualities gradually disappear with the rise of these things. So that's why they're forbidden in Krishna's culture. Because as soon as you engage in these activities, then these qualities will start to manifest. And the human form of life is actually meant for making a solution to this cycle of birth and death. But these qualities are not so conducive. Rather they will keep one in the more compassionate ignorance, which is not very good for spiritual understanding or spiritual culture. So therefore they're forbidden. But nowadays not at all. As Janika Pandit says, a learned person means one who sees every woman other than his wife as mother. And anyone else with property as garbage in the street. So that's his evaluation or standard of that is knowledge. That is a learned person. Because that means actually realization. If you can act like that, if you actually see like that, that means vidyan. See every woman as your mother. That's a very wonderful thing. I suppose that every woman should see every man except the husband as her father. Except for children, I guess. Because then it will make for a very compatible relationship. Because if the man sees a woman as mother, then the woman will respond by thinking of son. Then that affectionate mood will come that she wants to protect, feed, child, and protect. And so then the other instinct, the base instinct of trying to enjoy each other won't arise if that mood is set. But now it's not followed. In Calcutta, as brother, the administration, they practically encourage it. Practically. In the culture of society, the higher caste, at least they were the boys would go to the ashram of the Gurukul. They were for 25 years, there was no association with women. And then it was taught to respect all the women as mother. But nowadays you can't do that anymore. If you don't have co-education in the universities, then they don't get enough students. Practically, some of the universities, colleges, they don't get enough entries, so they have to have co-education. The young people, they want them. So that's how things have been. And of course, intoxication is also supported by the government. because they get such good revenue. The Prabhupada says, I know, he said, when I was a pharmacist, I used to buy alcohol, pure absolute alcohol, like 1 rupee per gallon. He said, but if you turn that into drinking alcohol, he said, it's not a very expensive process. Something that ferments in it. He said, then they're selling that at 60 rupees a gallon. It's the same thing. So then the government, well, so much revenue they'll get for that. So therefore they actually encourage it. And now you see everywhere these billboards for it. When I first came to India, some states were dry. They're called dry states. I remember Madras was a dry state that you couldn't buy alcohol without a permit. Tourists could, if you had a passport. But otherwise, when the people outside, they would harass you on the street, and you, because you've got a passport, can you go and buy a bottle of whiskey? And they'd give you some money to go and buy drinks for them, a bottle of alcoholic drinks on your passport. But I doubt it was still there anymore. Definitely not in Calcutta, it was just there for Radhyatra, and everywhere there was big billboards advertising, if you drink this, just a little bit of whiskey. So. Director's whiskey. We had these series of adverts with this young man, and they're always surrounded by young beautiful girls. He's holding a ring, and all these girls are in a line like that, waiting for him. He drinks the director's whiskey or whatever it is, whatever he had. Another one is in the beautician parlor. And there's two guys each side of him, and they're shaved up, and there's him sitting there, and there's about four girls around him, and the one blowing his hair, some manicuring his nails, and they're wearing half of a dress, and maybe he's... So it's, the implication is there, they're advertising like anything, but simply, this is, you'll be very attractive if you take this and you have all your desires fulfilled. And even in the airport, when I came this time, a big picture of Jagannath was gone, and there's a big picture of whiskey there. And I told the customs man, where's Jagannath? He was our first thing we saw when we come into the airport, big picture. Where's he gone? Why you put whiskey there? He said, well, everyone is not like you, you know. I said, no, they don't come to see whiskey. Nobody comes to India to drink whiskey. Most people come to see Jagannath, but it's the biggest trade. The biggest trade is tourism here, and spiritual tourism. That's the biggest thing why people come to India. Nobody comes to drink whiskey. But whatever, you know, if you're paying the money, you're raising more money, then they just sell us space, they're not interested. But you see, the government should be interested. the purpose of the government is to direct the citizens, direct their children, direct their dependents, from the cycle of birth and death. But they don't know. Therefore Krishna says, Kuskritana Mudhas, the rascals, they want to know Krishna. They have no idea. Simply, they're elected by the sutras. The sutras are majority. And the sutras means a mode of ignorance. And if they're not controlled, it's just sense gratification. But because of the degradation sets in, then the Brahmins become corrupt, and the Kshatriyas become corrupt, and the Vaishyas become corrupt, then nobody wants to follow, naturally. So then Sutra means sense gratification. So whoever offers sense gratification, they get elected, and surely it's going to be someone who caters for the Sutras, because Sutras are the major population. They say that 90 out of 100 people are Sutras, 9%. 90% of the suitors. So naturally they're going to vote for someone who's going to pay it for their sense gratification. And so then they put a sutra on top. So where the head should be, one has the feet. So that's what that's Kali Yuga. But here's just beginning. And Maharaj Prithvi is seeing this. And he's alarmed. He He's now actually coming into his, he's actually coming in close, getting close to home. So now he's going to get out, get ready, and trying to drive it away. So, as Shivala says, that we can't stop this Aja Kali, obviously. Unless as the leaders, practically speaking, become Krishna conscious, and then it can change, the whole thing can reverse. That's possible, the possibility there depends on consciousness of the king and how he controls it. Prabhupada said, if you stop these things, if you stop these four vices, he said within a few years, he said, the prince will be so nice. Be like a different ego. Big ego now. But now it's creeping. Here, we got to fight from the bottom. He's fighting from the top. It's just coming into the border. Now, if you want to do something, you're practically surrounded and drowned by all of these vices, which are promoted actually by the government because of the revenue. And this is what the people want. It's all they know. No one's being taught the value of life, what is the real purpose of life in the schools, because it's not allowed to teach religion in most of the schools. They have to keep that separate. We should object to that. We should have a rally. Why this department is not there? We are non sectarian. We don't say any promote any particular religion because that's their excuse. If you teach one religion, then you have to teach all the religions. So how can we do that? There's too many religions. You won't get any other academics in. So therefore, we stop everything. Very convenient word jargon there. But based. Prabhupada said that the administrators, he said their job is to see that people are following their religious duty. He said, so no matter what religion they profess, then the government should see that they follow and they're judged according to their religious codes. So there's no contradiction there. But of course, we're so liberal nowadays that even atheism is accepted as a kind of religion. So there's no real standard. As soon as you start to get on the cases of the atheists, then you've got all these people, marching and shouting, and why are you picking on the minorities? Why are they the underdogs? And give them they have their rights, must respect their freedom, must respect their opinion, this is a free world, democracy. Okay, so demon crazy because it's democracy. So now everyone is not equal, but that's what they want, living in this dreamlike world, completely controlled by mind, completely controlled by the agents of Kali, and just complying with whatever's happening, and become more and more involved, in the complexities of material nature of mind, and it becomes more and more complex. Yeah? The more you stray from the actual dharma, Sanatana Dharma, real religious principles, then the more difficult, the more complex it becomes. The more and more problems, more and more difficult to solve. As Prahlad Maharaj says, it's easier just to face the problem than try to make a solution. It is actually simpler. To just simply accept it as Krishna's mercy and tolerate that as far as possible. As far as possible. Of course, like it says, when the rainy season or the cold season comes, you take precautions. But the way of material nature, if you try to go against it, then you'll create 10 problems. Your solution, and Prabhupada gives the example of the motor car. You solve the problem of getting from A to B quickly. He said, but then you're back with another problem. Other problems. The factories to produce the cars and the asphalt all over the agricultural lands and the fumes and the accidents and the pollution and all things like that. Kaddish conditions, the factories. But you get from A to B quickly, which is what you wanted. So you solve one problem, but how many other problems are here? So because people are not satisfied, as soon as you make a plan for enjoyment, that's when the trouble begins, because it's work. It's hard work. If you want to enjoy, you've got to do something. Because material nature doesn't offer enjoyment freely. There's always so many obstacles. As soon as you make a program to enjoy, there are so many obstacles to overcome, and you have to think about what to do, what to remove to get to that objective pleasure. That's hard work. You actually living and don't want to do that. The object is pleasure. But there's so many unpleasurable things between that pleasure. So you have to work like anything just to remove those so you can achieve it. And that's the price. So Balas says, as soon as you desire happiness, that's when your problems begin. If one is self-satisfied, understanding that anyway, what is coming to you is coming to you by destiny of Krishna's mercy, that you can't enjoy anymore, you can't suffer anymore than you're destined, then why endeavor so hard? Why not simply accept that your suffering is due to your simple activities? So don't perform any more simple activities. And your happiness is coming due to pious activities. So perform pious activities if that's your goal, to enjoy. But if you're tired of enjoying and suffering, then you perform activities for Krishna, Krishna consciousness, then there's no more good karma, no bad karma, there's bad karma. That's Krishna consciousness. And then you don't have to come back again, which is the actual purpose of life. But at least if you don't understand that, then you become religious. This is the bottom line. At least for the karma. So at least the world is a peaceful place, at least you can live your natural life and experience your happiness and distress without too much endeavor. And gradually you'll become more and more happy. If you follow that Dharma, you'll come to the mode of goodness. So it's the happiest you can be in the material world by following. So it's for the benefits, it's for the living entity's own interest that the Dharma is there. But we take the Dharma and Kali Yuga as a troublesome thing. Oh, I have to do this, or this restriction, that restriction. But it's there for our benefit. Because if we don't follow, we're going to get big trouble. But we take restrictions as troublesome. Because we want to do exactly what we want to do. We don't want anyone to interfere with what I want to do. So that's moral ignorance. The false ego becomes more and more powerful as one gets away from goodness to ignorance. And more involved in the situation, more and more in the bodily identity, more and more aniyamana. But it's actually for the living entity's own interest, for the human's own interest, that these rules are there. So the government, for the interest of the living entity, they have to perform their religious duty. Because they have to do it is because if they're really interested in anything, he said the leader is actually someone that has a vivisection, they should kill them. And if someone takes intoxication, they should kill them. And if someone is taking gambling, they should kill them. He said, and very soon everyone will stop. In the beginning, they don't like it, but soon everyone's going to stop, just like in some countries. In China, everyone follows for the other people. They shoot them. Drug dealers, they publicly shoot them on TV. Show it on TV. And before they punish them horrendously, when you mention it, in on TV, just to deter people. In Singapore, if you chew gum, you get put in jail or fined. No more chewing gum anymore. Because there was so much chewing gum, bubble gum all over the floor, it would become a nuisance. So then they made very strict. Now if you chew gum, you get fined or you put in prison if you're an offender. And if you throw litter on the street, you have to put on a special jacket which says you're a litter bug, and you have to sweep the street for an hour or two. So people get really ashamed like that. But they're strong. If you smuggle drugs in those countries, you can get executed. Other countries don't like it. And Australia or New Zealand, people get caught and they're executed and the governments come down. What are you doing? Don't care. But you have to be strict like that if you want to actually do something. Also in some Arab countries today, they say, although Arabs are considered thieves, but there's such strict punishment that they may cut the hand off in some countries that, you know, if you believe something there, no one will take it. Because the rule is cut the hand off. That's the rule with Mount Sumita also. But can you imagine trying to legislate that in the Western countries? Cut a hand off a thief? Wow. Yeah, riots. But that's what it is in Mount Sumita. That means everyone's a thief. That means everyone is an illicit woman hunter. That means everyone wants to engage in intoxication. I mean, that's what it actually means. That's why do they think it's so bad things? But there you see that there's no standard. This is the democratic idea that it's all one. So we have to fight the police for ourselves. We can't stop Lumbos or Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada's war, not that? Monks and Dives and so on. Thomas D. Sarasvati, Gaudavan, Vachan, Vimishesha, Shandavati, that was Prabhupada's battle, especially. Because Sarah is actually they're also the killers of Dharma, Bhakti, the Vimishesha, and Sundavati, these philosophers which were Apadhamma. Because they actually produce atheistic mentality. If you're Sundavati, if there's no God, then there's no meaning to life. If there's no God, then there's no hell, there's no punishment, so I can do whatever I like, there's no problem. So it's very convenient, some of these philosophers. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to snap these atheistic philosophies and put Krishna back in the center, that we have to start having to understand who we are, what is the real position of the divine entity. This is a sermon of Krishna, the power of the Supreme Lord, the eternal sermon of the Lord. And if one, and that is your actual position, that is Sanatana Dharma, that is what you're supposed to be doing. Now, if at all you want to, you don't want to stay in the material world, then you have to perform activities to reawaken your dormant propensity to serve the Lord instead of yourself. So this knowledge has to be there. But how can they give you? The schools won't allow it as a part of their curriculum. No one is teaching this. So this is covered. Very conveniently. Atheistic mudhas, the speakers. And they're running the show because they're clever and they're powerful, they misuse their intelligence. And they're running the show and misleading everyone else. They're the big enemies of the demons. Or even though they might go as pious men or religious men, some of them. Even though they make a show of being religious or being respected of demons or pious. They're all against the supremacy of Krishna. No one's saying to yourself, what is it? Some of the symptoms that cricket will. Is perceiving now that they're actually this quarreling illegal activities are actually becoming manifest in the new state. So he's going on to do whatever he can. But we should also, like that, we should also object. When we come across this adharma or religion from all the demons, we should also object. I don't know how much we can do, but at least for ourselves, to keep ourselves safe, keep ourselves transcendental by staying away from these activities, degrading activities, and engage in positive activities of Christian consciousness, then at least, even if we can't visibly do much for the rest of humanity, at least we won't come back again, so we'll solve the problem by one less person in the problem, in the problematic world. That's what, at least we can do that much. Chale Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, thanks. Okay, we got the Pratik Pavan has come to save all the souls in Kali Yuga.